You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week for our weekly catch-up with Dr. Shane Lizzie, we discuss the National Party's plans to repeal Labour's smoke-free 2025 plan. As a part of their coalition agreement, the National Party agreed to scrap legislation that would have reportedly saved the New Zealand healthcare system $1.3 billion over 20 years and saved thousands of lives. We began our discussion by talking about Dr. Lizzie's new ministerial appointments, including his appointment as the Minister for Pacific Peoples. I began by asking what his top priorities are in that portfolio.
So in the portfolio of Pacific people, what I'm looking to do first of all is to work with officials and work with the community and quite quickly bring up some outcome measures that we'll hold ourselves accountable for at the end of year one, two and three to say that we've made a difference in the things that matter. Those outcome measures are likely to come from the things that we can control in and across the areas of cost of living, economy, health, education, law and order, housing, pay gap. Across those will be outcome measures that the Ministry for Pacific People will have some control over and some influence on, and I want to codify them and then get on the way to fix them. So it'll be a range across that. But those are what we've started working with immediately. I met with officials yesterday to get this ball rolling.
Can you point to any specific policy that you've brainstormed that you think will help affect those measures that you just talked about?
Yes, I can. I've discussed with officials my adamancy that we will do a better job with immunisation rates, child immunisation rates, particularly MMR, the measles vaccine. We know that it disproportionately affected Pacifica people, particularly when we exported it to Samoa during the 2019 measles outbreak. And we also know that our rates across New Zealand are poor. So that was one of the measures that we'll look at whether it sits into that dashboard of accountability outcomes.
I guess that kind of leads into the next part of this, and your other portfolio is the Minister for Health. So same kind of question, I wanted to ask what your top priorities are to improve health outcomes in New Zealand.
Health workforce. I can build buildings, I can do other things, but if I don't have the workforce to support it, then what does it matter? So you'll see a big influence from me and us on the health workforce and how we can build that, how we can retain it, how we can recruit it, how we can build medium and long-term pipelines. You'll see all of that come up in my hands with a lot greater emphasis than it otherwise might have been. And then, of course, the key outcome measures, the key targets, will be waiting lists to see a specialist, waiting time on the surgical list, faster cancer treatment time, amount of time spent waiting in emergency departments, and then immunisation rates. Those will be the big five outcomes that we're working on. But health workforce is the key feature here at the moment.
And speaking about health workforce, are you committed to helping in any way you can to make work safer and fairer for nurses in New Zealand?
So I'm committed to improving conditions, and this will be some of the briefings that I'll receive as to exactly what the current situation is. Those will be some of the briefings that I'll receive over the next few days and weeks.
And I just wanted to shift on now because I wanted to talk a little bit about the coalition agreement and some of the outcomes of that. In particular, one of the outcomes that affects your portfolio immensely, and that was a commitment to repeal the smoke-free legislation. How do you think that will affect public health outcomes for New Zealanders?
So what you heard the Prime Minister say is that there are concerns that the legislation as it was proposed would significantly increase the black market, that retail reduction from roughly 6,000 down to 600 stores would significantly focus crime on those 600 stores. And there were some concerns around clarity of the smoke-free generation. And so those were the concerns that have been expressed and that we'll need to work with. We are committed to reducing smoking in New Zealand. Vaping has been one of the most significant interventions for reducing adult smoking rates. It has had the byproduct of increasing underage vaping. And so that's a piece of work to be done as well. But we'll be looking for vaping at this point to continue to be a key factor in reducing smoking, and then we'll look at what other tools we can bring to that.
So you believe that vaping is safer than smoking?
No, what I'm saying is that vaping, let me just be correct there, certainly without the products of combustion from vaping, that it is much less harmful, is all the evidence that I've seen, than smoking. That's why vaping has been introduced around the world as that alternative, as that nicotine reduction modality. Now, it's come with other consequences, including social consequences, which we'll need to work our way through. But certainly the experts are telling us that vaping has had a significant impact on the adult smoking rate here in New Zealand and overseas, actually.
I want to touch on that point you made about the black market quickly, because I think that when we had, for example, the cannabis referendum on that point, you know, is that not an example of a place that we could have stopped the black market? Why is smoking so much better, in the National Party's opinion, than the marijuana referendum that wasn't really supported by your caucus?
So there's a lot of other things associated with the marijuana than cannabis legislation, in as much as that it's currently a legal preparation, quite aside from where our cigarettes are at the moment. So, you know, there are significant differences there. But at the end of the day, we remain committed to reducing smoking rates in New Zealand. That's the key point. And now we're just going to work around how we can add to what we're doing with vaping, make vaping even better, and what tool set we have to affect that.
And I guess I also want to talk a little bit about a Health Coalition debate that you attended, and you kind of stated your support for certain measures outlined in the anti-smoking legislation, including denicotization, and you highlighted it as key to reducing the impact of smoking. Has the thinking changed on that, and is denicotization a top priority for you in terms of health outcomes going forward?
So we're still to be briefed on the impact of this, but when I talk about let's see what other tools we can bring to vaping that would help address some of the concerns that are expressed, that'll be some of the work that we'll be looking to do.
And modelling done by the Health Coalition Aotearoa has shown that smoke-free legislation would have saved $1.3 billion over the course of the next 20 years, and also showed that it would reduce all-cause mortality rates by 22% in women and 9% in men. Was it a factor in the decision how many people would die as a result of repealing anti-smoking legislation?
What was a factor in the decision was the significant concern that the black market would increase, and was that there could be targeting of those 600 retail outlets, that they could be at risk of violent crime. Those were factors that were also taken into account in this decision.
The outgoing Health Minister, Aisha Verrill, spoke on that a little bit, and she said that denicotization of cigarettes would reduce the kind of crime that would be associated with those fewer retailers for cigarettes. Do you agree with that, or do you think that?
I think what we need to look at is what tools we can bring to the key one that we have at the moment, that is vaping. What tools we can bring to support that, and clearly including education and health promotion to further advance the decline in adult smoking rates, while at the same time dealing with some of the consequences. As I mentioned, things like underage vaping, that's the direction we need to be in.
Would you then repeal a law that came into effect this year to stop single-use vapes being sold?
Still to be briefed on that, but we've expressed interest in firming up the penalties for those under 18 who are vaping. And single use, even though there's been some complexity around whether there's a disposable battery or not, but the single use vapes are also an area of concern for us to look into.
That was the National Party's Dr. Shane Ritty.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.